Well, I've been telling you the last couple of weeks that we're going to start looking at Isaiah. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to do that today. I'm going to try and introduce the book of Isaiah to you. And we're asking simply the question, what is in a book? As we do so. So we're going to spend about 10 Sundays on this. Why are we going to look at Isaiah? Well, Isaiah is truly a great book. If you're someone who reads the Bible a lot and you know the Bible, you'll probably find the bit that Isaiah's in is kind of dirty because you've looked at it a lot. It's a great book. I've been reading Isaiah recently, chapters 54 and 61, on the theme of shame, and that's been a fantastic read, quite separate from this. It's a great book. You would have to be as dead as my shoe not to get some good out of reading Isaiah. So that's why we're going to look at it. I thought it was time to come to some Old Testament as well, because we've looked at the New Testament recently. So here's what we're going to do. And I hope you can join us in this. We're going to start reading Isaiah from tomorrow morning. So tomorrow, Isaiah chapter 1, on Tuesday, Isaiah chapter 2. Chapter by chapter, there are 66 chapters. And someone is going to post on our Facebook page a little thought for each chapter. Fiona's going to start this week, and so she'll take us through a week, and I'm looking for volunteers for the rest of the time. I've already got some, but if you'd like to volunteer, then let me know. So you can look at the Facebook page and get a little bit of encouragement from that as well. And then every Sunday for the next 10 weeks or so, apart from the family service, we're going to look at Isaiah and look at the chapters we've read in the past week. So, it's a long book, but given 10 weeks, we'll get our way through it. So, if you're on board, we'll be starting with Isaiah chapter 1 tomorrow. You may have read Isaiah many times, and that's fine. But the question is, and I want to ask today is, you know, a big book like that, I know it can be daunting. You might start reading it, and before you're at the end of chapter 1, you say, I haven't got a clue what this is about. And we've all experienced that feeling often when reading the Bible, especially the Old Testament. So how do you approach a book? Well, I've got a book here. Okay? So here's a book. Now, if you like reading books, sometimes you just... I always buy second-hand books, because unless they're just published, because... And this is a second-hand book, which I read recently. And it's, it's got a nice smell. It's a hardback, which is always better because it lasts longer. So sometimes you look at a book, you look at it, it's just like its size. There's a fair bit of reading in this. Its thickness, its weight, you know, the number of pages you might look at, what are we on, about 250 in this book. So it's not a book maybe you'd read at a sitting. And Isaiah's like that. Isaiah's not a book that you would maybe read at a sitting. But we're going to read it over 66 days. In Isaiah, if you look at it in the Bible, it has in my Bible here, in the Pulpit Bible, 82 pages of about 1,400. So it's about 6% of the Bible. So it's a big book. It's a lot of the Bible. Although this book's a wee bit musty, yeah, Isaiah is definitely not a musty book. So you sometimes just approach it in that sort of general way, first of all. But then you maybe want to know, well, who wrote this book? And this book was written by John Steinbeck. Okay, John Steinbeck. And you're all thinking, oh, I remember studying The Grapes of Wrath at school or something. I hated it. Well, okay, fair enough. But this book is written by John Steinbeck. This book that we're looking at is written by Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is a giant in the Bible. He's a giant in the history of Israel and of Judah. He's a giant. He's mentioned in other places in the Old Testament 16 times. And he's mentioned in the New Testament 22 times. So he's a very, very important figure indeed. He's a huge figure. And he's often called Isaiah the prophet. And this is often called the book of the prophecy of Isaiah. Now, what do we mean by a prophet? Isaiah was a prophet. John Steinbeck was a Nobel Prize winning author. Well, we respect him for that, and we want to maybe read some of his stuff. But Isaiah was a prophet. Now, that's something completely beyond anything else, to be a prophet. Well, in Israel, there were three what were called offices. And here we go. First of all, there was the king. In Israel, the king was the person who enforced God's rule in the people. He enforced scripture. And then there was the priest. The priest operating at the temple and in the centres of population around Israel and Judah. The priest obviously dealt with sacrifices and so on. But in terms of scripture, the priest was the teacher. The priest taught scripture to the people. And then there was the prophet. The prophet also dealt with scripture, but the prophet was the one who produced it. The prophet wrote scripture. The prophet wrote scripture not just on a whim, but when God gave to the prophet his word. Then the prophet spoke what God had said. The prophet sometimes wrote history. Isaiah does that in places. The prophet also spoke the word of God and often recorded it so that future generations would have it as scripture to look at. The prophet was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write scripture. Sometimes it was about the future. Actually, usually, when prophets wrote, it was about their present and what God was saying to the present. Now, you'll come across the word prophet in the New Testament, but in the New Testament church, but not in the sense that the prophet was in Israel, the sense of the prophet actually writing scripture, the sense of the prophet speaking to kings what God's word was, and so on. The prophet was a very, very big figure in the Old Testament and into the New Testament. Now, you might say, well, why don't we have, kind of, in this big sense, prophets, priests, and kings in the church? Well, because we have Jesus. And Jesus is all three of these. Jesus is our King of Kings. He is our prophet who still speaks into our lives and speaks the word of God into our lives. And he is our priest. He teaches us and he stands between us and God and offers his own sacrifice of himself to God. So Jesus really is the person we look to. But in the Old Testament, the three great figures, the prophet, the priest, and the king. So Isaiah is a writer of history. He's a man who writes God's word. He's a man who speaks God's word to the kings and to other figures. Okay, so keeping going. Next thing we look at a book perhaps is its title. And this book is called Travels with Charlie. Okay? In Search of America. Travels with Charlie. This is really the title to the book of Isaiah. And the title is in the first word, really, or the first two words. The vision. The vision. The vision. And what is the vision? Well, at the end of the words there, hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. So this is really the title of Isaiah. It's the vision. God is speaking. So straight away, in Isaiah's day, people have to sit up and take notice. And ever since, God is speaking. It's a vision from God. That's a big claim. John Steinbeck doesn't make claims like that. Also, you might want to look at a book and think, well, how old is it? Now, this book was written in 1962. It was first published in 1961. This copy was printed in 1962. Now, when you think back to 1962, 1961, when it was written, John Steinbeck was a Californian. In fact, on the back, there's a nice, handsome picture of him there with his huge, big pet poodle. Okay, John Steinbeck. And 1961, 1962. What was happening then in the world, as John Steinbeck wrote? Well, the Cold War. 1962 was the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was a time of great, great anxiety in the world. And the world was desperately afraid of nuclear annihilation, mad, mutually assured destruction. Well, what about Isaiah? Well, we haven't got a picture of Isaiah, but Isaiah was from Jerusalem, and he is writing not in 1962, but 700 years before Jesus, 700 BC. And if you went back to the Middle East in 700 BC, it was in crisis too. It was in crisis because up in the north, the Assyrians were flexing their muscles. The Assyrians were getting strong and threatening to expand their empire at the cost of Israel and Judah. So there was a crisis in 700 BC. When you look at a book as well, you might look at its condition. This book's in pretty good condition for 1962. It's a wee bit dog-eared and it's dust cover. But it's well read. It's been well used. And Isaiah's like that. Like I said, if you look at Isaiah, even in this pulpit Bible, there's a kind of dirty line in Isaiah. I've preached from Isaiah a few times from this Bible. So that's a clue. You know, if you've come across an old book and no one's ever read it, you might think, oh, it's obviously not worth reading. But if you come across an old book like Isaiah and people are really reading it, you think, what are they finding there? Is that the feeling you have? You know, why is everyone raving about this book of Isaiah? Why is it so well read in the Bible? What's going on there? And we might want to get excited about Isaiah for that reason, and hope you do. I want to find what they found is the kind of thing we might want to see. But then also, you might want to look at the introduction. So I'll just look in the dust cover here. And here's a little bit of what's said. 20 years in the 20th century are a long time. And for 20 years, John Steinbeck has been occupied in writing about America while America changed. He began to suspect that he might have lost touch with this monster country. So that's the kind of thing that's going on in this book. He's trying to get back in touch with the monster country of America. Well, Isaiah isn't covering 20 years. He's covering about 60 years. Isaiah lived a long time. And again, just look at the verse there. What does it say? Well, it says, Isaiah saw a vision during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And we also know he lived into the reign of Manasseh, who was Hezekiah's son. That was a period of several kings, a period of about 60 years that Isaiah was actually acting as prophet in Israel. So a huge figure, a very important figure. And he was coming to the people, not because they'd lost touch with their country, but because they'd lost touch with God. Like you'll see with the kids, they were lost. They'd lost God. Isaiah is ministering to his country, Judah, because it has lost touch with God. And here's some verses we read. This is right at the beginning of Isaiah. God says, this is God speaking, I have your children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. You know, even the ox, he says, knows its master. The donkey, his owner's manger. But Israel doesn't know. My people don't understand. Ah, sinful nation. A people loaded with guilt. A brood of evildoers. Children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Now, as we go through this book, we'll see that it does refer very closely to the condition of the world today. And maybe to the condition of Scotland today. And that's a terribly sad thing to see. Judah has lost touch with God. And over 60 years, about 740 to 680 BC. Remember, you count backwards. If you're going forwards in time, BC. 740 to 680 BC. Isaiah is ministering to a nation that has lost God. It's lost its touch with God. So what did John Steinbeck do? Well, it says he, if I can find it, where is it now? Yeah. He set out on a journey, yes, there we go. I've written it here. He set out on a journey of discovery and rediscovery, and his exploration took him through almost 40 states in the USV. Well, Isaiah also explores the condition of his country, and he describes it. Here's a couple of extracts. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. See how the faithful city, Jerusalem, has become a harlot. She once was full of justice, righteousness used to dwell in her, but now murderers. Okay. The condition of America, the condition of Judah. When you're looking at a book then, probably if you're starting to think about it, you want to look at chapters. What are the chapters? Well, Steinbeck only gives us part 1, 2, 3, and 4, so that doesn't really help us find our way through the book particularly. And Isaiah might be like that. It's divided into 66 chapters. That was not Isaiah's doing, I don't think, but it was done afterwards for convenience for people reading it. But Isaiah might seem pretty daunting. So let me just give you a very basic outline of Isaiah. So here we go. Chapters 1 to 35. Isaiah speaks to his own day and to the threat from the north. The crisis of Assyria expansion. We're familiar with big countries expanding or wanting to expand, and the crisis that brings. Well, there it was in Isaiah's day. And then there's a little interlude in chapters 36 to 39 where Isaiah is actually just writing history. He just writes about what happened in Hezekiah's day and a particular time when Assyria had actually besieged Jerusalem. And then the last chapters, which tend to be the chapters people like best in Isaiah, 40 to 66, Isaiah is actually speaking to a day beyond his own day, a future day. He's really prophesying here of the future and the return, not from Assyria, but from Babylon. When Assyria has been overthrown by Babylon, and they then come and march against Jerusalem and Judah, and they do destroy it, and they do take the people away. Isaiah is speaking to the return of the people from that period, so, and from their exile in Babylon. So there's a lot covered in the book of Isaiah. Right, so you've looked at your chapters, and now it's time to start reading. And you begin to read. When I was very young, and the urge to be someplace was on me, I was assured by mature people that maturity would cure this itch. Yeah, so there you go. Good opening sentence. So you begin to read in Steinbeck, and he describes all sorts of things he finds going around America in his camper van with his big poodle called Charlie. That's why it's called Travels with Charlie. And he comes across, for example, the Submariner with cornsick silk hair and delphinium eyes. Such an innocent little man, he wants to drive a nuclear submarine. And this horrible threat, see, that nuclear threat is there. And then he comes later on in the book to a really obscene scene, which I read somewhere else, how I got to read this book, of race troubles in the South. And two little black girls trying to go to school in an all-white school, and the obscene kind of riot that arises out of that. It's just horrible. And he's there to witness that. So he's covering crisis in America. And it's not an easy read in places. At other times it's delightful. Well, Isaiah writes too. Not everyone agreed with John Steinbeck and his views on race or war. Not everyone agreed with Isaiah either. But what Isaiah did was he exposed, he didn't just describe his country, he exposed his nation's sins, and he said to his nation that God's judgment was coming. Therefore the Lord Almighty, the mighty one of Israel, declares, "Ah, I will get relief from my foes and avenge myself on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove all your impurities. Judgment is coming on the nation of Judah." Now, this is not something just to laugh off. You know, Isaiah is not some guy on the street corner with a sandwich board that says, "The end is nigh." He's not some kind of quirky figure. Because in chapter 1 we read these words. So here Isaiah is recording a little bit of what's actually happening as he speaks. Judah, he's in Jerusalem, and all about the country of Judah is desolate. The cities, the big cities of Judah, have been overthrown and burned with fire, stripped by the Assyrian foreigners right before Jerusalem. And the daughter of Zion, Jerusalem, is left in this exposed way, under siege, a city under siege. And he says, unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom, completely overthrown. But God spared Jerusalem at that time. We'll come to that story later on. Incidentally, just in case you think that this is all kind of made up, you can go to the British Museum and you can see a stone tablet with writing on it recorded by the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, in which he tells us how he cooped up Hezekiah like a bird in a cage in Jerusalem. Just a little aside there, just so you know, this is real stuff. This is the enemy writing about this same thing as well in the British Museum. Okay. Well, Isaiah ministered before Jerusalem was under siege and after. And he explains to the people, you know, this isn't just about wars between nations. This is God's judgment. And we're going to be helped by Isaiah to look out on our own country and its situation. And this isn't just about, you know, pandemics or political upheaval or the crisis that social media has brought to our lives or the trouble with the economy. But it's not just about the Ukraine war or about the threat of the expansion of certain countries or whatever it is. God is at work. And Isaiah helps us as Christians to read history, realize this isn't just some random stuff that happens when people get bad or people do wrong or people mess it up. This is God acting. Assyria hasn't just come against Judah and Jerusalem just in a sort of random way because the king of Assyria kind of woke up one morning and said, I know, let's go and conquer. Let's go and conquer Judah. This is the judgment of God. Well, just to wind up, a lot of what John Steinbeck says in his book thoroughly depresses him. And he does tell us from time to time how much he's drinking, how much alcohol he's consuming on his trip. And that's probably because, you know, he's totally depressed and he has no answers to the problems he's seeing. Maybe you want to read Steinbeck and you might enjoy doing that. But, you know, it doesn't end in a hopeful way. Isaiah's different. As I say, the end of Isaiah is brilliant. I was reading some of it this morning, chapter 61. Let me just read this verse here, 61. It's like I had never seen it before. Beautiful verse. If you like gardening as well. For as the soil makes the young plant come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. That's beautiful. Isaiah's full of great things like that. And that's why you would want to read Isaiah. He doesn't leave you depressed. He does get downcast, but he always has hope and he always has answers. He's not a prophet of doom because he's not serving a God of doom. He's serving a God who always wants salvation. And so all the way through Isaiah, he describes the mess and then he says, folks, it doesn't have to be like this. God can bring you home. Here's one, for example. Come, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, you know, they're really bad, they shall be as white as snow. Beautiful words. God is able to turn around our hopeless and our dark and our sin-corrupted situations. And that's the great thing about Isaiah. It's the great thing about the gospel, which is in Isaiah. Sometimes Isaiah is called the gospel of the Old Testament. God's mercy will triumph. And we read again in chapter 2 in the last days, and we're living now in the last days since Jesus rose from the dead, the last days continue through till when Jesus returns again. And this is what will happen. It's a beautiful symbolic picture of the temple of God being a temple where all nations come to worship the Lord. It's like a picture almost of the new creation of the future when God's mercy triumphs over judgment. And there's probably a lot of this is about Jesus and his kingdom. So Isaiah will take you to a place of hope. And Isaiah will give you words that describe how you, as a human being, when you find yourself lost, can find your way back to God. Your sins may be scarlet, but God is able to make them as white as snow. The last little bit of last story in John Steinbeck's book, at the end of his journey, he ends up back in New York. And you find him explaining to a policeman, because he's lost. He's lost in New York. And he's pulled into this place where he shouldn't be parking. And he's sitting in his cab and laughing, because he's lost. And the policeman knocks on his window, and he explains to the policeman, "Officer," he says, "I've driven this thing all over the country, this camper van. Mountains, plains, deserts. And now I'm back in my own hometown, where I live, and I'm lost. I'm lost." Well, Isaiah will take you through mountains, plains, and deserts too. But at the end, hopefully, you'll have found God, refound God, perhaps, and you'll know your way to him and your way through life far better than you did before. And this is our prayer for our time in Isaiah. I was lost, but now I'm found. Amen.